beams on me have shined, I thank thee who hast overthrown my foes and healed my wounded mind. I thank thee whose enlivening voice bids my freed heart in thee rejoice. And we rejoice at this beginning of the pilgrimage of this week and Howie's decision to be baptized, and pray thy blessing upon him. And this event of thy coming to him that will climax this week's pilgrimage. And we thank thee for bringing into our fellowship these brothers and sisters hundredfold, with mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and children hundredfold, that we may rejoice together this night in thy fellowship. Be made one body in thee to serve all men and to embrace thee, Lord Jesus, in the face of every man. And as this heat even in a village reaches us, we think of those heavy corridors of spacelessness in the midst of our great cities, where the turgid air arouses the tumult of men's passions. And even now we ask thee to cool them and help us to find the way, the truth, and the life that is Jesus, to be a brother to every man. Amen. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who speaks for man? Norman Cousins asked in Saturday Review a few years back, and it's obvious that he alone speaks for man who became man and who involves us in himself so that we too become men one to another. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that he became religious or that he became a Christian, but it says that he became man for us men and for our salvation, and was made flesh and dwelt among us, that we might find our common flesh together here in this celebration tonight of Holy Communion under this text, to know in every man our brother. The Good Samaritan story has been flattened out into a drab kind of humanism that has no spunk and no motivation. It forgets what Soren Kierkegaard put so well in the last century, what we have learnt so horribly in ours, that outside of Christendom there is no neighbor. For Mao Zedong, an acre of ground is worth a drop of blood. In the China, which I was a missionary, they'd watch a man drown, because if you were fool enough to save him, you had to support him the rest of your life. You hadn't allowed him this way out of his misery. And in the New York of our time, we know that women are raped and men are killed as others behold them. To see in the neighbor the Christ is what Jesus of Nazareth permits us in this text tonight. Begins in this knowledge of him as the one unto whom has been given the knowledge of God. The 70 return with joy, saying, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. He exalts, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He gives them power over all the powers of the enemy, and tells them in this not to rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven. And then Jesus rejoices in the Holy Spirit and prays, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to the unlearned, to the babe. Yea, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in thy sight. And no man knows the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son reveals him. Neither knows any man the Son save the Father. Then turning to the disciples, he said, Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. For verily I tell you that prophets and kings longed to see them and did not see them, to hear them and did not see them. And then, in that moment, Luke inserts this story. Let's give the editor credit for how he deals with his material. He claims it as he starts this book of Luke Acts, and that he's using some intelligence in it, having confronted us with the knowledge of God that's alone known in Jesus. He shows us that the brother is likewise found only in him, that it's in him we find every man a brother. And this is our privilege and part of the gospel that is revealed in him. And as we take this body tonight and this blood poured out for us, we are made one body, and our blood is poured out for others. and all men are made brethren. That's what this event means, or it means nothing. Some of you have asked me even this day what that means in the buses that you see. The ride up is free. The ride down is costly. No one had to come here. It's by your own free volition that you've come. The ride up is free. But you cannot be confronted by this eschatological reality that is Holden Village, this redemptive community made visible where all men are my brother, and go out and go past on the other side. You cannot leave here without its costing you all you are, or you have cheated yourself of everything. For as Christ breaks through on you afresh here, it is that you may discover him anew in the face of every man. When we were taking Willie down that costly ride the other day, our militant black pastor from the Missouri Synod, Willie, says, "I want to dedicate 6 months of my giving to Holden Village." I said, "Willie, we're not that hard up, and you've got so many places to put it. I appreciate your willingness, but I cannot see that this gift is necessary." And he says, "I must, because this is the only agency of change I know for men turn around and find their brother. You cannot be confronted by Jesus here and go out and deny him by going past on the other side out there. Awareness happens when we take time out in a place apart, awareness of what it means to be human, to be joined to the human race. Awareness, as we are quiet in this place, to know what happens in the sweltering city and in the desolate kind of country ghetto that all too many of our Lutherans have lived in, places without imagination and without leadership, for youth are corrupted as quickly as they are in any city ghetto. And you're part of this human race, and you go out to serve it, to lift it in imagination and once more be excited about the life that Jesus brings, that makes every man a king unto the King of Kings, and every daughter a daughter of the Most High. We started the day by saying God expects every man to be a thinker, and we said that it did, despite the kind of delightful candor of Kierkegaard, who says in a note that this certainly cannot be expected to include all women and little children. We still think it includes women and even God's little ones, for we think in this place of the meaning of becoming human. That's what Jesus lets us become. The one man who walked this earth that no longer will let us be this hurried, hastening priest and scribe, to become a fellow human being with the Samaritan. That's what the story following means, and he's embraced, this Luke editor has embraced this narrative with that following story in the New English, as Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are fretful and you are fretting and fearful about many things. One thing is necessary." Fussing, he says, fussing and fretful. We can't be fuss budgets. When we're in Jesus' presence, we become human, to be joined to the human race and to know he's with us, that the broken hands of Jesus are steering this planet in its orbit through space, and that he has not left us desolate. He comes to us so that we can live in his love for all men. We can be part of his redeeming love. As he has carried us, we carry the brother. And only when we know he carries us do we carry the brother. Then we've got time for more than talk and committee action and resolution. We've got time to be a neighbor. And part of this wonderful gospel is that Jesus lets us in on our neighbor. The very thing that happens here in the village is we say that those who come up, they're complaining because they say, "I don't understand him," or "We don't understand them," meaning their children. They go out rejoicing, "I don't understand him, we don't understand them." They take one another from God's hand and his mystery and rejoice in this. We don't expect the black to be white or the Indian to have our kind of fretful Anglo-Saxon energy. And we learn to appreciate the Indian and the black in our midst and to love them for what they are and not have to paint them into white skins to enjoy them. We see the one who is there in God's image, and you learn to rejoice with each day. And I think No date opens more often for me than with this note of rejoicing that I won't meet myself today. I'm not going to meet a single person who's made in my image. Not one. All unique, distinct, fresh, different in the image of God. That's what it means, this Good Samaritan. We have time to be aware. And in the awareness, there is spontaneity. And I'm using these three words from games people play that he is so gentle about and so kind of shy about disclosing. He says this maturity is there as a possibility, but can it be? And we say it can be as we speak for man in the name of Jesus. As the enemy is overthrown and Satan is trodden underfoot, man can be a brother. And in the spontaneity, the opportunity for free choice, he can stop and listen, hear the other, rejoice he is there. One of the women out here now is coming back in a bit to be with us, has taken off a sabbatical for a little over a year to work with us. And I commented on how lovely she was getting last fall, because you could see the beauty showing. Comes from one of the great families in the Lutheran Church, one of the aristocratic families. Her father was an ambassador in several countries, and she speaks a number of languages, including the Korean. She has a computer brain. She's been with us as a servant, being actually our registrar. And it was difficult for her, out of this status relationship, not to think of people in terms of status. And one day, another boy out here, he's out tracking down a Dear John letter and hoping to repair romance, one of our cooks in the kitchen. One of our redheads that looks like he came right out of the mountain because he got a beard and hair like one of the mountain trolls might have. And one day, Doug was baking bread. He took hold of Karen's hand, she said. He said, sit down. We're going to talk. And she said, what an exciting person. What a magnificent person. And I said, well, you can see. When you see people where they are, you've got to become beautiful. Because you're excited about the ones who are there. And I say, now, Karen, you can understand me. I don't have any more courage than anyone else. And I certainly would like to be a success as much as anyone else. And yet, I bounce with this place where I have the smallest parish in the whole Lutheran Church because the church can't put me where there aren't people. It's a little surprise so many of them come here. It's true. But even here, you see, we relate. We bounce with one another. We refresh one another. In this opportunity to love, in this kind of spontaneity of life that comes when we're free to love. And that's what makes it great, isn't it? As we say here, you're either free to love and it's terrific, or you're afraid to love and it's tragic. And that's the only judgment we make. And that's what Jesus does, who was made man for us men, that we might become men and women. That we might find in him this neighbor in everyone around us. This whole creation, a neighbor. You're speaking of that. Because God cherishes us, we cherish his creation. He nourishes us and we nourish it that nourishes us. The earth that has cradled us. The streams that refresh us. The air that allows us the very breath of life. The fire that warms us is part of our cherishing. When I went up the trail to Holden Lake, the first time in 5 years, after the Forestry Service had kindly taken account one day when we were 453 in the village for a couple days, and they found 500 had gone up to Holden Lake in 3 days, so the government gave them $8,000 to make a better trail. And then discover that after the taxpayer in America has been charged to give us Lutherans a better access to this lake, that we ourselves are guilty and in danger of polluting, that we had been cutting back on the trails and helping to create havoc, and oftentimes the very people who talk about pollution out there and the big shot capitalists are the ones whose feet can't go just a few feet further and save that wonderful creation that God's given for our refreshment. This is our cherishing, our nourishing, our love of the earth about us, because we're kings under the King of Kings and lords under the Lord of Lords, as St. Paul put it. Or as Luther says it, because you are lords, both with the apostrophe and without it. And again, as Luther puts it, God's always taking beggars and making them kings. You own it all. All things are yours, Paul says. Whether Christ or Apollos or who you are, whether things to come or things present or past or heaven or earth, all things are yours. He repeats it twice so you get the note. And that's what it means in this spontaneity, that you can own the earth and you can take time to enjoy it. And this is what you're doing this week. And so in that time, you also discover intimacy. And that's the third term, intimacy. The wonder of touch of one another. We used to have it up over our saunas, and I hope just because it isn't there, you no longer minister to each other. Happiness is a rubdown in the sauna. The Good Samaritan took this man that had beaten and battered by the bandits, and he rubbed oil upon him. He wasn't afraid of touching him. He cared for him. He carried him. And this is where we carry one another in the village, and we nourish and take the aches and pains out of each other and the tensions, and the stenographers get a back rub, and so do the floor washers and the dishwashers, and there's a hilarity in it. That's what made Playboy last July, as you know, our sauna. I suppose the only institute of the church that's made both Scientific American and Playboy. But this is where we become human in intimacy, doesn't it? To belong to each other. Our pastor, Maury Wee, the first Sunday this year was a little desolate because Look magazine had its whole issue on America in the 70s, and they hadn't even mentioned the church. He said, it's tough enough to be kicked around by the world, but just to be ignored. So I wrote him a little note, because Maury's been with us from the start and supported us with his $100 a year. Gives us too much publicity. Actually, it works in reverse sometimes. But I said, Maury, the church was already there in the 60s. And that's all Look is describing, that it hopes the world gets in the 70s, what we've already been enjoying. Because the church is always ahead of the world. He leads us into all truth, the Holy Spirit. And this intimacy, this touch of one another, not being afraid to heal the battered brother or sister, to lift her up with an embrace, like we'll be doing now in Holy Communion. This touch and feel belongs, doesn't it? Awareness, spontaneity, intimacy, all the Good Samaritan story gives us in this eschatological event that is Jesus. One term we all learn at the village when we are here is eschatological reality. After all, we've got television and telephone. Why can't we learn a little phrase like eschatological reality? All it means is this time between the times, that no man sees the brother save in Jesus. Just as no psychologist has ever discerned the faith, no sociologist has ever seen the church nor can describe it. It belongs to the mystery of the Holy Spirit, who creates life anew, this person that you are. You are eschatological reality and the forgiveness of sins. God has laid hold of you to make you a new man. Already you are his. And though it does not yet appear what you shall be, when he appears, you shall be like him. And you become like him as you carry your brother. As you no longer exercise yourselves in ascetic devotions, moralistic kind of actions, self kind of torment, but you simply let go and let God take over and lead you to your brother. You get your hands dirty, as Luther says, in the sins of your brother. You're not saying, look how clean my hands are, but they should be bloodied, for there have been brutal policemen or violent masses as you have ministered to the brother. And you're wherever the action is, because where I am, there will my servants be. We were not only discussing ecology 9 years ago, we took on a 300-year project at Holden Village, unafraid. What's 300 years in the life of an eternal people? We made our proverb, that Chinese one, Bu Pa Man Zhi Pa Zhang, don't worry, go slow, just worry, stand still. And so we took over this exploited wilderness to renew it in the image of him who daily renews us. But if we had mining companies all over America desolating the landscape like they did here, then not only would we give ourselves in our volunteer work as we are doing to renew and restore and redeem the land, but we'd also give ourselves in armed might to keep them from desolating the earth. As Rauschenbusch put it well long ago, that if the Good Samaritan every half mile was picking up another bandit bruised guy, so that the poor ass was being burdened, if the Samaritan hadn't done anything about it, the ass would have. And we are living in a society where rural areas couldn't breathe a couple weeks ago. We're polluting the very atmosphere that we can't renew. We're living where most people are drinking water that's been used three times, and so we've got to spend $1,500 here for chlorinator for water that comes fresh from the hand of God right off the glacier, the height of the ridiculous. Everybody else has killed their baby, we got to kill ours. But the reality of this wonderful opportunity that Jesus unfolds is what this text today gives, to cherish one another, to nourish the earth, to be members of one another so that the wine that is his blood and the bread that is his body may fill us with himself to do his work, which is to do our neighbor good. And as Luther says so well, it's so obvious as the nose in our faces, but we miss it oftentimes. A good work is one which does my neighbor good. Not a Budinsky one. Not reshaping him in my image, but accepting him and living with him and loving with him so we know where the good is. And that's why the next part of Luke says pray. And the Lord's Prayer and praying for one another, because it's only when we pray we see the neighbor that's there. And we don't interfere. We don't redo his environment like we did on a mission field sometimes and destroy him. Good thing we build hospitals. The diseases increase because we brought them. We live with him as he is and love him and allow God to nourish him with this good earth and this wonderful water and this warmth of fire and the freshness of the air and the touch of one another. For there is the healing, isn't it? As he touches us with himself, my body, my blood, and allows us to embrace one another, my brother. The face of Jesus in my brother. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.